Nice to see you all, folks. Especially those of you who maybe haven't been for a few weeks, or I know Sharon's trying to be here a bit more, which is lush. Yeah, it's really cool. Really, really cool. And yeah, that's completely fine. You just do what you can to be here. It's all good. I've got a couple of bits of admin, and then we'll do a kind of our usual meditation to get here. So I think is good news. We had always planned this to be a year-long program, which means that for most of you here, I think everyone here, the program will end in September, October. And I've been thinking about that and thinking about the desire that you expressed over the last couple of times we've talked about this, to keep working together and what that can look like and all that jazz. So I've made a couple of decisions, which I think is going to be fun. And there'll be a note going out around this week, but you guys are my peeps, so I'd like to share this stuff with you first. So we're going to run a couple of additional coaching calls. Someone else is joining. Hang on 1 second. Okay, I think I got everybody. Yeah, so we're going to run a couple of additional coaching calls over the next month or so, partly because if you're following through the repeated curriculum, we've changed some of the order of the modules, and the last one is now the courage-based goals, right? So we thought we'll run an extra couple of circles so that if you do want to set up a 30-day goal, you'll have some additional support with that. So Marion and Lisa and Scott have divvied up the calls, and they'll be run at the usual times. And the weeks of those are the 7th and the 21st of August. So if you do want to get some support and chat around your goals, then that is going to be there for you. And in addition, I'm going to run two special classes. One in early August, which is going to be about body image and self-doubt and self-belief. And I've got a co-host with me, which is my good friend, Philippa Dedricks, who's the professor of appearance research at Bristol. So she's going to come along. We're going to run that as an evening class. It'll be really interactive, and we're going to sort of talk through how you can use your existing, self-belief school tools to kind of deepen your work around body image, if that's a thing that comes up for you. I'm going to run an additional class, which is going to be a special kind of focus on the Belief Buster in September. And that's another evening class. And Lisa is going to run another class, probably in early October, which will be around deepening these tools. And once you've kind of peeled back some of the big stuff, you know, what tends to come up for people around really looking after yourself and nurturing yourself, rest, the kind of smaller changes perhaps, but the ones that actually have the big dividends. So we're sort of working on the what that will look like, but that will be in early October. And as I think most of you know here, my family is my little family, me, him and the dog, we're all moving to New Zealand at the end of this year, and sort of between September and November. There's a bit of a process. We're all going at different times. And that's a really unexpected change for us. We just decided in the last few months that we're going to do that. And it's primarily to spend time with my mother-in-law, who's in the last season of her life. And so we're going to be moving in the next few months. So because of that, I'm really, just to be totally transparent with you, a bit unsure about how I'm going to run SBS next year. But I also know that for a lot of you, you're still using the tools. It's helpful. So what I wanted to do was open up the access to the learning site on an ongoing basis. So I'm just going to do that for an additional 6 months at this point. At no extra cost, there's no additional fees or anything like that. It's just purely because you're all showing up still weekly, right? And I am probably very invested in that, maybe more so. My coach is like, oh, I think we should look at a package. And I'm like, no, I think I should just show up. So what we're going to do is have access to the learning site until at least the end of April next year at no additional cost to everybody who's on the program. By then, I'm hoping I'll have my shiz together around what that might look like. I'm thinking that because we have this group, there might be room for more of a kind of coaching focused group that is not so much about the learning of the tools, but more this kind of thing, but perhaps in a slightly more structured way. And that might be really supportive for you guys. So I'm just looking at, you know, what might that look like? And I will obviously also be asking you, and I'll send something out so you can tell me, you know, what would you like? What would work for you? And then I can respond to that. That's how things work. So this means that we are not going to have like a kind of formal closing because we ain't done yet. So I'm hoping that that's good news for you guys especially. And I guess, you know, the other part of this is with me moving to New Zealand, the time zone is going to be the main thing, but that may actually work out okay. So it's because for me, the mornings I have much better energy and I feel way more myself. So for some of you, that will mean that it's more of a, perhaps an evening call or whatever, but I sort of have faith that we'll figure it out. So yeah, I'm so glad the comments in the chat are lovely. I'm so glad this is good news for you. So I want to keep doing these calls as much as possible up until I leave, and then we'll figure it out. I'm not leaving until the end of November. Please bear with me because it's going to be a little bit higgledy-piggledy, like it's not going to be super consistent, but what I'm hoping is I can make at least 2 or 3 times a month. So we are due to have a little break for 2 weeks after this call, so we'll be back in meeting again on on the 16th. So the 16th of August will be the next call, the Wednesday morning call after this one. By then I will have sent out a note confirming all of this, and you know, we'll figure it out as we go. I think the best way to make sure that you know when these classes are, I will send out a note the day before, but you can also subscribe to the Self-Belief School calendar on the learning site. And Kay and I are going to be pretty diligent about making sure that that is updated and reflecting reality so that you know when the classes are going to be. But yeah, so I'm hoping that that feels good, and you're not going to get rid of me too easily. So that's cool. Awesome. Great, great, great. Okay. So after all that admin kerfuffle, shall we get here? Shall we spend a moment getting here, and then we can do some fun coaching stuff? Yeah. Okay. So I just want to invite you to close your eyes if that feels good to you. And just kind of feel your feet on the ground. Give yourself a little nice heavy breath out. Really relax your body in your seat. You might want to bring your attention to your breath. Just notice this amazing, amazing phenomena that happens without you even thinking about it. Your body breathes for you, keeps you alive. You don't have to do a thing. Isn't that nice? No effort required. Just notice your breath traveling in through your nose, down into your lungs, filling up your belly, oxygenating your body, keeping you alive. Breathe right down into your toes. If you can imagine your breath coming right to your toes. And just allow your attention to travel up your body, up your legs, into your seat. Notice that you're being held right now without any effort on your part. Soften your belly. Invite your hips to just relax. Come up your body, into your belly, to your solar plexus, your heart, up into your arms, your back and shoulders. You may want to give them a little roll around. Invite them to relax. Come up into your beautiful faces. Just allow your jaw to relax and soften. And come back into your heart, down the front of your body. Just take a nice deep breath. Just thank yourself for being here, for giving yourself this time just for you. No effort required. Just know you are absolutely loved and accepted exactly as you are. No matter how you've shown up today, irritated and pissed off with the world, ready to rage, or feeling quite joyous and calm, and everything in between. And when you're ready, just give your toes a wiggle and come back to the room. I'm loving seeing all these yawns. It's like all of this processing of the energy. Yes, you're doing it like a champ. Yeah, so good. So good. Like our bodies just release all of that stuff, right? Yeah. Cool. So here we are. Who has stuff? Who has stuff they want to talk about today? Either it might be a celebration of something, might be some self-doubt that's come up, might be a question you have. What's going on for everybody? Just let me know. Let me know in the chat or give us a wave. Oh, we're going to have a super short call. So Tanya and Sharon, amazing. Cool. Tanya, shall we take you first and then we'll come to Sharon? Yeah. Amazing. Can you just unmute yourself, Tanya? Here we go.
Okay. So I guess, yeah, what's come up is I had a chat with my manager at work this week and so I said, I asked to have a discussion about my role and, you know, pay review, that kind of thing. It's been a long time since we've done that. So that was something I'd been putting off for a long time. So I was kind of like, okay, I've asked for that. But, and now it's like, she said, okay, we'll organize a chat with our MD and blah, blah, blah. And, yeah, so now it's like, I'm just full of doubt and there were a few things she mentioned at the time, like, you know, how do you fit in the team and things like, you know, being a team player and, you know, we know you like to do certain things, you like to have control and blah, blah, blah. And so I just feel like as I'm trying to prepare, I can't help but being defensive. Like I'm just wanting to approach it in a way where I don't want to go in and just be defending myself, but yeah, that's, I just, yeah, I keep approaching it that way. Every conversation, I keep, I don't know, creating conversations. How is this going to go? And yeah, overthinking it possibly. So yeah, I just want to get some kind of outcome that is constructive, like it, instead of just, yeah, having to try and justify myself, I guess. Yeah.
I wonder, Tanya, do you know what you want out of this meeting?
I think that's part of the challenge, is that I kind of don't. I think there's been, because I've been at this company for a long time, and so there's kind of been, well, what do you, these discussions of what do you want now? Like, and I think part of doing this was to sort of figure out what I wanted that to be. And I don't have that crystal clear in my mind. So I think I'm finding that part of the challenge of steering that conversation. And maybe it is sort of approaching it to be a bit more open, that I don't have the answer, but these are some of the things I'm thinking. And it is more of a conversation, whereas rather than going in with, oh, this is the answer. And yeah.
I so feel you, right? Like, I imagine even all of us have had those, you know, anticipating the conversation with the manager, and especially when it's around our roles. I noticed you said, you know, maybe I'm overthinking this and I'm kind of defending all of that. So what I would offer is, like, our jobs, when they're in someone else's hands, our jobs mean things like safety and like financial security and important bloody things, right?
Yeah. So
I just really invite you to be super compassionate with yourself for all the feelings that are getting wrapped up in this meeting, right? Like, you don't need to make yourself wrong for feeling a little bit like, oh, now I've asked for this thing, now I'm getting it, now I don't really know what's going to happen. And I guess, you know, the second thing is, I think the sort of approach I would recommend you consider here is part of this sovereign energy that you want to kind of embrace here around setting a real intention for this meeting for yourself. And this doesn't have to be like a really overwrought kind of process. It's more getting clear for yourself, like, what would a good outcome be? How do I want to feel in this meeting? I wonder, even as I'm asking that, if anything comes up for you, how you want to feel while you're there.
I want to feel calm, and composed. Yeah, I just don't, because you're right, there's a lot wrapped up in that, and I often get overwhelmed and emotional, so I would just like to kind of keep that in check. And
so calm and composed, like sort of, you know, it sounds like with your healthy self kind of in leading the charge. Mm-hmm. Here. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And in terms of like a good outcome from this meeting, what might that look like for you?
I think it's maybe a better work-life balance, I think, is something that's important.
Right.
yeah, financial stability. I think understanding the like potential future, like what is there, possibility wise in terms of that role in the company, in the business. Yeah, so I guess some understanding of structure, future growth. Yeah.
Cool. So I'm hearing that the theme that's kind of coming up for me as I'm listening to you is this, it's like some clarity over expectations. Does that kind of land? Does that sound like, so you're looking for some clarity over expectations of you and what you can expect in terms of what you want in your future role?
Yeah.
Which is a bloody fair enough thing to ask, right? Like, this doesn't sound unreasonable at all.
Yeah.
So, and I think sometimes that can be helpful to remind yourself, it's completely reasonable for me to want to know this information. I can be calm about this, right? It's completely reasonable for me to want to know this information. This helps me succeed in this workplace, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I just, for a moment, I want to invite you to think about your manager, the person who's going to be on the other end of this conversation. Mm-hmm. And I just want you to put yourself in their shoes for a moment.
Mm-hmm.
They've got a employee that they that has asked for some clarity over expectations. Like, what do you think they want from you? Have you put yourself in their shoes? What would be information that you could help them to help you?
I think, and what they did actually say to me is, like, tell us actually what you think, not what you want us to hear.
Nice.
I think that's, I think genuinely they would want to know that. So, yeah, just being honest.
So they want to know what you think.
Mm.
So what do you think?
I think that's the problem. Us,
we're riveted now. We're like, what do you want?
Yeah, I think that's been the problem. It's like, they're asking, what do you want? And so I think I'm feeling the pressure of bringing something to the table that I'm not 100% sure that I know the answer to.
Okay. So just notice, right, that might be at the heart of some of this stuff.
Right?
Mm-hmm. You've asked for a meeting. You've been absolutely seen and taken care of here. The meeting is happening. But now they've also said, we want to know what you think, right?
Mm-hmm.
And now there is a sense of, I've got to bring something to the table. Not sure what that is.
Yeah.
So I'm curious to know if that sort of feeling of uncertainty, or maybe you're not sure at the moment what it is that you're looking for, is that because of self-doubt, i.e. I'm not sure I can ask for this, or is it I don't know what I want?
I think it's a little bit of both, because we had talked about progression previously, and it was only the other week when I think somebody else got like a promotion, I guess, in their role, and I realized, like, I felt disappointed that I didn't get that, but at the same time, it dawned on me that I hadn't actually asked or put myself out there for it. And I think that was my self-doubt holding me back. So I think there is an element of, there's a bit of, I don't know, But yeah, I think there is very much an element of being afraid to ask for something. Yeah.
If you were going to ask, if I'm your manager and you were going to ask me, can you put some words around the specifics? What is it that you would want to ask for? If you had a ton of self-belief in that meeting, what would you ask for?
I don't know.
I think you do. I call bullshit. I think you know.
I think it would be more of a leadership role.
Right. Here we go.
Yeah. Okay. I think what is holding, we have these, and they keep touching on it, is that, like, I'm super introverted and I'm okay with that. That's who I am, but I'm going to get emotional. But I think there's a feeling that I believe that's also not okay. Yeah, to have, like, what can that look like? And part of me is like, it's perfect. Like, there's heaps of leaders out there who manage teams as introverts. But yeah, it's, you kind of get this, you're told that, you know, you need to be more out there and doing all these things that, yeah, so I think it's navigating all of that and being true to myself. How could that actually look, I guess? Yeah.
Tell me about that emotion. What's that about? Is that, what do you make of that?
I think it's a, like, a worthiness, like, yeah, believing that I'm worthy of doing that.
I just want to, like, bravo you to death here. Like, you just put some words to what you want, right? Maybe for the first time. Well, it might have been the first time you said that out loud.
Yeah.
Leadership role. Yeah. How perfect to do it in this group, right, where we're all going, hell yes, we want to see that from you. And it's totally safe to be as emotional and human and yourself as you want to be. So you've said that out loud for the first time. I want more of a leadership role.
Yeah.
And that's important, right? To get that out into that's now a thing in the world. That's a desire you've voiced. Can't unring that bell.
No.
So that matters that you said that. It's an honor to hear you say that.
Thank you. Thank you for creating the space to say that.
Yeah. And so there's a part of you, that protector part, that's coming up and saying, oh, but you're an introvert and maybe there are lots of people in your organization who are more extroverted in leadership roles. How will that work? No.
Mm.
There's that protector part's there and it's going to have a bit to say about all of this. Makes total sense. Up until now, you've been busying yourself away and it sounds like pretty good at getting shit done on your own, right? You've had that feedback from your manager that you mentioned earlier.
Yeah.
So you've been doing a really good job of managing this desire. And then this other person gets a promotion and you're like, oh, hang on a freaking minute. There's another part of me that wants more.
Hmm.
And so now you've just got these two parts that are kind of going, oh, I don't know. It's easier to be in the I don't know place than to say what you do know and what you do want.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. So now you've articulated to us that you want more of a leadership role.
Yeah.
And, you know, I'm just coming back to your being in your manager's shoes again and thinking about how will they know that you're ready for that, that you can bring something to that? And are you kind of thinking about examples and?
Yeah.
Do you want to share some of that?
Yeah, I think we're thinking about, because I think they were bringing up things that were negative, like, yeah, in a negative context. And so then I think that's where I got quite defensive, because I was trying to offer, like, you can view things different ways. And so I was offering them positive examples. Mm-hmm. And so I think that's where I kind of kept getting defensive. So, you know, there's examples in terms of mentoring people. But they were just choosing to focus on certain parts, and it's like, there's a bigger picture. So I've been, and then there's like different ideas and things, but it was almost like I felt like I was thinking, like, am conscious that I don't want to be like, oh, I'm going to do all these extra things. And because, yeah, it, because work-life balance is important, and I know, like, I can easily slip into that, oh, I'm just going to do all this extra stuff to prove myself. So yeah, I'm trying to be conscious of that, but also showing them that I can do things. So.
And so you've got this example that one of the examples you've shared is that you've mentored people in the past. Mm.
Yeah.
And you can talk about, like, how that grew you, right? What that meant for you and why you liked it, all of that jazz, right? Like, I think part of this process of, you know, asking for more is, first of all, getting into that place of, it's safe for me to ask for more.
Mm-hmm.
And even if it doesn't feel safe, right? Because that's the kind of difficulty here, is that you're actually walking into a situation you don't quite know. So you've almost got to hold that it is safe for you to want more, regardless of if you're at this organization or you decide, actually, I'm going to try my luck somewhere else because I do want this leadership role. Maybe you could do more of a leadership role in other arenas in your world, right?
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, it's safe for you to want this regardless of what's going on in that meeting.
Yeah.
And then it becomes a case of kind of playing the game, playing the work game a bit, right? What do they need to know for you to kind of share with them? Look, this is what I'm bringing to the table. It's actually quite a lot.
Yeah.
because I think what can happen is when we've got these two competing parts operating within us, the temptation is always going to be to choose the safe option. And the safe option is always going to be, you know, don't do anything new. Don't do anything too crazy. But what that means is that this part of you that has said, no, I do want a leadership role, the part of you that was like, oh, damn it, that person got a promotion. And I'm sure you had lots of stories around all of that, right? We all do. It's like you already know what life looks like if you choose that really safe option, right? How amazing that you've asked for an opportunity to take the more courageous option. And kind of lay cards on the table. And they've said, we want you to be honest. We want to know what you think.
Yeah.
And so you've got an opportunity, regardless of what the outcome is, what you've learned in this process without even having the conversation is that it's safe for you to want more of a leadership role.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I think part of this is looking for evidence for yourself in your life right now around how you are already leading. Right. So you can kind of go, oh, this isn't actually as big a move as I'm maybe making it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. I think that idea of letting go of the outcome. Yeah.
It's so key, because otherwise what we do is say, this manager over here who might have just had a bad morning and be impatient in the meeting because they're just like either hungry because they didn't have time for breakfast or they kind of can't be asked or whatever. We then make them in charge of how we feel about ourselves.
Hmm.
Nope. Don't want to be doing that anymore.
Yeah.
Whereas that sovereign energy, that sense of here's my intention for this meeting, this is how I want to feel, and this is what I want to believe, right? I want to feel calm and composed, and I want to believe it's safe for me to want a leadership role, regardless of how that's met by these folks in this meeting. Hopefully these good people are going to say, yep, we think that's a good thing to want. Let's see how we can take it forward. But they might not. Either way, still safe for you to want that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, and I guess then you know anyway, like regardless.
Yeah.
Yeah.
When is the meeting, Tanya?
We're going to do it next week sometime.
Cool.
Yeah.
So what a little bit of homework I'd love to offer you to just see how this feels is to really practice this belief. It's safe for me to want more of a leadership role.
Mm-hmm.
And look for evidence of how safe that feels to you, right? How do you already lead in your family, in your world, in your maybe your friendship group? How do you lead yourself? Mm-hmm. How are you already doing this, right?
Yeah.
So that when you walk into that meeting, it's like, look, folks, I've got these skills. Do you want them? Right? Mm-hmm. I'm bringing this to the table. If you don't want them, someone else is going to. It's kind of the attitude we want here. You know? It's like, and it's okay if you don't see me in that role. Maybe there's some learning for me here around how I can demonstrate this in the coming months, right? It's like it's not a closed door conversation. It's not a once and done.
Yeah. Yeah, that helps.
Yeah. Maybe it's the beginning of your stepping into that leadership.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, thank you.
So welcome. If you haven't already, there's a book called Quiet by Susan somebody or other, And she talks a lot about the strengths and the values and the approaches that introverts bring to leadership.
Mm-hmm.
Susan Cain. Thank you, Kate. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's a great one, even for a reread.
Yeah, I have read it, but yeah, you're right. I think I'll look at that again.
Yeah. Just so you know as well, like every manager who does an MBA learns about the five attributes. God, it's so dull, right? Of leadership, which is based on a completely flawed model. And one of those attributes is extroversion. It's an outdated, flawed model. It doesn't actually have any basis in reality. How many extroverted leaders can we look at and go, well, they were terrible, right? So yeah. There is a kind of inbuilt bias where, you know, but we also have an inbuilt bias where we think leaders are called Dave and they're white men in blue suits, right? None of this makes it true, right? It just is just how we're taught to think about these things. Yeah. Yeah. But that none of it makes it true. It's safe for you to want more of a leadership role.
Yeah.
Yeah. Amazing. Yeah, we want to know how this one ends.
Yes.
So keep us in the loop.
Yeah, I will.
Yeah. Does that help you just to kind of get into that place of, you know, you can set some intentions for this meeting and be really clear about what you do want.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think detaching from the outcome and just saying these are the things that I bring to the table and, yeah, have that conversation, I think. And I think, yeah, putting myself in their shoes, I think helps as well.
Yeah. When you do that, you automatically get out of that place where your protector's driving. Because yeah. You kind of have to imagine someone else's experience. So it's quite a good technique to just go, okay, even in the meeting, if you find yourself kind of folding in a little bit, you can say, okay, what do they need to hear from me? Have some notes with you, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Amazing.
Yeah. Yeah, that's great. Thank you.
You're so welcome. So welcome. And this is the thing, folks, is for any of those like tricky old conversations or even just getting to a place where you want to articulate what it is you do want, our protectors are going to say, you don't know. Confusion is like a beautiful aspect of that kind of bystander scapegoat type protector, right? It's like, because if you don't know, there's no clear path forward. It's the perfect, sophisticated, protective belief, right? But if you sit with, well, if I did know, what would it be? Okay. I always, that's why I said, Tanya, I'm calling bullshit. Because I think most of us do know. It's just sometimes we don't know how to say the words, which is a different thing, right? Or we don't know if we're allowed to say what we want. Or we worry that we'll be disappointed if we say it and we don't get it, that somehow we won't be able to cope with that. But usually if we have an unmet desire, we're already disappointed. So we're already, it's like choose your flavor, you know. But at least when you can own it, own what you want, you give yourself permission to want it. And then that's when things tend to get a bit more interesting. Thanks, Tanya. That was really fun. Really fun to look at and explore with you. I'm so excited for your future team. Can you imagine, folks, if you've ever been managed by an asshole extrovert, how amazing it would be to have an empathetic introvert, like dream scenario. Yeah. Esther, are you going to say something? I feel like you are. 100 times yes. Yeah. Brilliant. Yeah, really cool. Really cool. We're rooting for you. Amazing. That was fun. All right, loves. Anyone else? I know, I'm sorry, Sharon, if you're listening to the replay, we didn't get to you in time. I should have figured that out when you said you couldn't stay for the whole hour. But anyhow. Anyone else got anything they're bringing? Celebrations, good times, just as welcome as questions and conundrums. And no pressure if there's nothing.
Not really a celebration or a conundrum, but just like leading on from that, about kind of traditional management. I've just come out the other end of like a traditional management style course that my work sent me on. And it's just like all of the models and all the frameworks were stuff that I just thought were complete bullshit and had to like write essays about them. And then had like a interview, like assessment of like examples of when I've like met these criteria that like I don't even think is important. And it is just sort of amazing once I have no idea if I passed or not yet, but once I was done with all the assessment, I just felt so much better in my body that I didn't have to think about any of it. And it was interesting to just hear you and Tanya's reflections, because a lot of that put me off going more into management, and I've sort of been a manager before and taken a step back, and I kind of have this whole, because I don't want to do it like that. I want to do it much more sort of that empath, introvert way, that I think I'm not cut out for it. So yeah, just like thanking you both for that reflection.
Something that might be of help to have a little read on is if you Google New York Times, and it's called, do you know what? I'll find the link and I'll post it in the forum. There was a project that a friend of mine actually was involved in that the New York Times reported on, where Google wanted to look at what are the, you know, how do we create the conditions for a high-performing team to maximize profits? Like, they were pretty, you know, explicit about this. And they sent in a bunch of organizational psychologists to look at the teams at Google, you know, who absolutely recruit and, you know, maintain a staff full of super smart, ambitious people, all of the things that you would think would contribute to the conditions for a high-performing team. And it took them over a year, and they still didn't really have a substantive evidence base on what this looked like until they started flipping some of their research criteria. Long story short, the number one condition for a high performing team turned out to be psychological safety. Is it safe for me to be my true self? Is it safe for me to fail? Is it safe for me to screw up? Can I show up as my full self, share ideas, fail quickly, all of that stuff, all of the things that contribute to a sense of safety in the workplace? And that project has gone on to become quite a thing in sort of modern leadership thinking. I thought it was absolutely fascinating that all of these things that we think matter actually don't. So Kate, your intuition that this is all bullshit, bang on, right? That actually the thing that creates a high-performing team, the thing that contributes the most to profit, is what we have traditionally called soft feminine skills. If you can create safety and belonging in a team, you will get your projects in on time, under budget, people going the extra mile, doing all those things. Now, it's questionable whether we want to run workplaces in that way, right? But that's the truth of it. So Aristotle, Project Aristotle is the thing. But I will, I'll find the link, because it's a fascinating article. And it really was the kind of beginning of this whole sort of embracing and you know, exploration of what does it mean to feel psychologically safe. And of course, self-doubt is a feeling of psychological risk. So I'm sort of quite fascinated by these two aspects. But yeah, so all of that suggests that empathic introverted, considered creative leadership, totally the way forward.
Yeah, that's heartening, because it's so odd, isn't it, when you're reading facts that just dispute your lived experience. I'm really interested in the difference between comfort and safety from that point of view, because I think it's getting across, getting outside of your comfort zone and still feeling safe, which I think self-belief school has kind of got me thinking that way, but it comes up a lot of work. We're talking about our equality, diversion, inclusion policy, and just talking to a load of white cisgender straight men in their 40s who don't seem to understand what psychological safety is, possibly because they've never been felt unsafe, and think that I'm trying to say that we just like want to make sure nobody ever disagrees. And I'm like, it's not that. That's about discomfort and it's about safety, and it's so hard to explain the difference, but it's interesting.
Completely. Completely. There is a book that's just come out, and I think it's called Psychological Safety. It's like four pillars of psychological safety. That might be a useful reference, Kate. There's so many Black and Indigenous and people of colour who have got brilliant, generous resources on all of that stuff. I'm sure you're onto it. But yeah, you're right. I think there is an absolute difference between comfort and safety. And you can feel safe and be uncomfortable. I think that's mainly what DEI stuff brings up for us white folks. It's uncomfortable, still safe. Yeah. So cool. Okay. Well, let's maybe leave it there, folks, for today. This was such a rich chat. Thank you, Tanya, for bringing this to us, and Kate, your experience too. So fun. But yeah, I'm really excited to hear how your meeting goes, Tanya. Know that we're absolutely rooting for you. Yeah. So no call over the next couple of weeks, but we'll be back on, I think it was the 16th I said, for the next one. I'll send a note out, and there'll also be a longer letter around the sort of general state of the union with self-belief school. But yeah, thanks so much for your lovely support and patience with figuring all this stuff out. Really, really appreciate it. All right, loves. I hope the sun comes out for all of us. enjoy some summer. And Tanya, you're down under in the middle of winter, but I think we're having the same weather as you. Yeah. All right, everyone. Take care. I'll see you in a few weeks. Okay. Bye. Bye, everyone.